Now a lot of companies have made it universal fit, realizing, oh, faces on this planet are not all the same. So you have Oakley, Ray-Ban, Warby Parker, Prada. And notice these are the companies, this is not like Walmart, right? These are luxury companies. So are they trying to be, oh, let's be nice to Asians, so let's have a product for them? No, let's make them money. And so if companies start to realize, okay, let's go where the money is, then companies will need to learn how to be Asian inclusive.
Welcome to Management Development Unlocked, where you will learn how to nurture a world-class management team. And now your host, Eric Girard.
Welcome back to Management Development Unlocked. I'm very happy you're here. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Today, I have Jolene Jang with me. Jolene, welcome to the show. So glad to have you here. You have an eclectic background, including the fact that we both have being a radio DJ in common. So that's pretty cool. Tell us, who are you and what do you do?
Who are me? Well, I grew up in Seattle. I'm a Seattleite. I am also Japanese, Chinese, and Swedish, fourth generation in America. And I lead with that because I want people to know. Currently, I am the Asian American. I talk about Asian Americans and how we're left out of the conversations. So I like to lead with that. For my professional background, I've done a lot of team building. So I'm in my 28th year and spent a lot of time team building and being a motivational speaker and being the fun person. So that's how I know Darren Nerling, because we're super fun and corny and dorky. And so how I use that in my past here is working with C-suites, but bringing the fun as a fun specialist. So I've always bringing people together in the organizational development field.
Awesome. And longtime listeners will remember Darren was one of the first guests on the show. And he turns the kind of dork up to 11. So that's
and I'm right on with him. I visited him at Amazon and we shared a piece of dog food, dog bone, just because we're corny.
Well, you know, back in the day, we used to talk about eating your own dog food when it came to actually using your own code, using your own software. So yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, wonderful. Well, slowly and by degrees, I am getting to know all the cool people in Seattle. So there's you, there's Darren, there's John Chen. And just little by little, I'm meeting all these fantastic people. So this is really fun. And last time I saw you in the flesh was at Learnapalooza, which was a real hoot. So that was a good time. Yeah. So let's dive into some questions, shall we? You ready for that?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. So our topic today is productivity for you. And the first question is actually one that you posed to me, which is a first for the show. So I'm going to enjoy this very much. And the question is, why does diversity matter to my company, to Girard Training Solutions, today and tomorrow? And so I thought about this a little bit as I was getting ready for the show, and I'm thinking, well, if I didn't have diversity, and I have a very diverse team, and I work with a lot of people from different backgrounds, and if I didn't have diversity, first off, it would be boring. Secondly, I wouldn't get the benefit of so many different points of view. Just, you know, my different team members, for example, the three people who contract for me, who work for me, they come from different parts of the world, different parts of the country, and they bring so much richness to the conversation. They have zones of genius. I just don't. And so whether it's diversity of race or religion or ethnicity or thinking styles or learning styles, all these things I would miss out on, and the company would be weaker because of it. If I had a bunch of mini-me's, God help us. If there were a bunch of people like, if there were a bunch of highly neurotic, driven, short-tempered people running around Girard Training Solutions, I think we'd last about a week. So thank goodness I have all these different points of view. So that's how I see it.
Well, and that's great. That's important that you see that. And later on, we'll talk about what is diversity in a bigger definition. And I'd like to communicate with your audience, the new managers out there, that why does that matter to them and their company? And, you know, and until you're around it, it's hard to really understand it, right? Until you experience something, it's really hard to understand it. So thank you for sharing your experience. So if your company wants to survive and you in it and want to be sustainable at your job, and let's say your market right now is white males. Maybe you're a company like John Deere, you know, with farming equipment or DeWalt that you market to white males, and that's always been the market, and that's a great market. And let's say they're boomers, some are Gen X. Well, this market is getting smaller, right? They're retiring and dying. So what are you going to do? You know, and let's say you want to continue on selling to the market you've always sold to, the white males. What do you know about millennials? What do you know about Gen Z? Right? These folks have grown up in a different atmosphere with cell phones, you know, as their toys, right? And there are people who are in more diverse areas, and maybe they have refugees, so they have some exposure to the Venezuelans and Afghanistan people coming in. This younger audience has more exposure and access with all the social media to learn that other people are different than them. And so even if you want to keep marketing to white males, it's going to be different. And again, this group is shrinking. Eric, can I give you some stats?
Please do.
Okay. So right now,
what are we going to do? Say no?
Well, you know, I just wanted to, you know, as the white male here, I just wanted to make sure you knew that you're in charge. So,
well, no. that just goes without saying. But no, please.
Yeah. So 2023, the U.S. is 60% white. So now and by the way, I'll give you other stats. So 19% Hispanic, 13% Black, 7% Asian. And by the way, so, you know, one out of five people are Hispanic. And in the United States, Spanish is the most spoken language all but five states, right? I mean, like, it is top of the line. And Adweek, there was an article out a couple of weeks ago talking about Spanglish as the future. And I don't know if you've heard Spanglish on some of the like Comcast ads or some of the ads. Have you heard any?
We actually don't have TV, and I don't listen to the radio. I listen to my playlist on Spotify. So I actually don't consume very many ads.
I'm sorry, TV. I don't know about TV either. Mm-hmm. But I've heard ads somewhere on Echo or podcast or something. So I've been starting to hear them too. And so the idea is, there are some large companies who are realizing, 19% and growing? Okay, maybe we should get into that market. So in 2045, the stats in the United States, and that's in 21 years, is going to be 49% white. So as you think about, you know, your employees and the markets that you want to market to, you know, it's a smart idea to start thinking, okay, we know the white male market. What about the other markets? Because they're growing really quickly. And McDonald's does a great job investing in the Black community. So Roy Wood Jr., that's one of the comedians that was on with Trevor Noah. So he has this really good podcast and video called Beyond the Scenes. And he talked about McDonald's investing in Black communities and how that's, you know, it's a pretty good idea. So I wanted to draw your attention to the Asian market because this is something where people just don't really pay attention to. So at 7%, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders, we actually are the global majority at 60%. And they make the highest incomes, highest education. They're the fastest growing. The rate of the population growth rate is the fastest. And their purchasing power is really high. So if you are looking, what can our company do to get some more customers? Well, you might want to look into the fastest growing population that has the most money. And so, you know, that's something that I talk to companies about because they just don't realize it. And if you look the last 20 years, the purchasing power of the Asian Americans shot up 314%. So that's, you know, that's something. And with $1.2 trillion in purchasing power, that's double and triple the Hispanic and Black markets. So there are reasons why you want to pay attention to Asian Americans. So that's something, a really smart business reason. And I realize people like who they like, and they may not like Asians or like people who are in wheelchairs, or they may just not like people who don't look like them. However, you know, to each his own. However, for business, you know, you need to maybe get over it. So.
Yeah, I love all those stats. And you're famous for that, for being able to rattle off these stats. And you just made in a few minutes an excellent business case for why diversity matters and why, you know, specifically because you're kind of representing the Asian population, why that particular demographic is important to pay attention to. So I think that is fantastic. And it's something that we haven't really talked much about on the show. So I'm super glad that you're here representing this. Yeah.
Do what I can.
Okay. My next question is, you mentioned McDonald's winning with the Black community, for example. Which companies are winning by including Asian Americans in their marketing?
So I didn't really know. So I grew up in the white community in a suburb of Seattle. And so my networks are all white. I was really involved in the National Speakers Association. I was the only person of color in the state of Washington in my chapter that was present. And so my network was very white in all the respects. And I got into this topic right now because Asian Americans were being stabbed every day, and they still are, and are being murdered once a week because they're Asian American and blamed for COVID. And so all this information I really have learned really quickly and trying to figure out how will the majority of people care about Asian Americans? Well, okay, show them the money. Show them the money, honey. So that's what I try and do. So who is winning at this? So for example, Oakley. So we know Oakley Glasses, they're a decent company. And they started Asian Fit Glasses, I think it was like 10 years ago. And I didn't know about this. I didn't know glasses were different or faces were different or anything until I was interviewing another Asian American woman and we were talking about all sorts of things and goggles. We were talking about glasses and goggles, and I use, well, you're a scuba diver. So I use the big scuba diving goggles because they fit on me. Otherwise, the little Speedo glasses, they leak. And I didn't understand that until I talked to another Asian American. And so the idea that Asians need Asian Fit because the nose bridges are different and the faces are different. And so they caught on to that a long time ago. And so now a lot of companies have made it universal fit, realizing, oh, faces on this planet are not all the same. So you have Oakley, Ray-Ban, Warby Parker, Prada. And notice these are the companies, this is not like Walmart, right? These are luxury companies. So are they trying to be, oh, let's be nice to Asians, so let's have a product for them? No, let's make the money. And so if companies start to realize, okay, let's go where the money is, then companies will need to learn how to be Asian inclusive. Okay. Eric, I went to Costco the other day and they have this dragon alcohol. It's XO, Napoleon Brandon XO Dragon. And it's this huge, it's like 2 feet by 1 feet. It's kind of this glass case on the end cap. I think it's like $200 or $150. Whoa. Right? Not the ones, you know, the Costco's in North Dakota don't have this, right? The ones in Seattle, and if you go to Redmond, you'll probably have some Indian type things over there. But Costco does such a beautiful job. I took some screenshots recently of their Costco ads. Actually, I was in one also. And they show Asians, and Asians, we love, Asian Americans, we love a deal and we love quality. And so I also, in the show notes, I want to draw your attention to Shang Wang. He's a comedian. He has a thing on Netflix and talks about Costco. And it's very clean and so relatable. I was just hilarious. And by listening to this Netflix comedian, you can hear what's important to Asians, right? And Costco does a beautiful job. And there are Asians that work at Costco. It is hard to sell to people that you don't know. And have you been to Bellevue Square up in here in Seattle?
I have not. Okay. I'm over in Polsbo, so I don't get to Bellevue that often.
Okay. So next time go to Bell Square and I want you to just say, where am I? Because you will see a sea of Asians. And a lot of these are from Asia. They're H-1B1, worked at Microsoft sort of thing. I don't go to Bellevue, the east side, kind of the rich side of Seattle here. And it is incredible. You'll see stores, REI and Eddie Bauer, Lululemon, and you'll go in and you'll see ads, you know, with the promos on the wall with Asian faces and Asian bodies. And it's like, oh, that doesn't happen hardly ever. And who's in those stores? Asians or Asian Americans are working in there, and they're in there. And the bubble tea, there's at least 10 of them just in the mall. The line for bubble tea goes out the door. So if you want to see who's maximizing on this market, it's Bellevue. And in Bellevue, it's already over 50% people of color. And by that, I don't mean Black. I mean Chinese and South Asian. So, you know, if you want to look around, there are success stories of companies who are really maximizing and saying, oh, there's money here. So I just want to let people know they may not see it in their area, right? Because it depends where you're at, but it's coming, and nobody accommodates us. Oh, I'm excited about this. So let me tell you about this shirt company. So my ex-husband, who's Vietnamese, and my cousin, who's Japanese, like so many Asian American guys, they have to go over to Vietnam to get shirts that fit, right? And they get them tailored because they're baggy in the waist or the sleeves are too long. That's very common. Guess what? A company, you know, Asian American owned just started that. And that's such a doing very well. So there's many itches to scratch out there.
Yeah, boy. You got me thinking, my mind went so many different places as you were talking. The first is, I just checked, and my glasses are Oakley, so I feel like I'm supporting something good with those.
Yeah!
And you said bubble tea, and that reminded me, I haven't had a good bubble tea in a while, so I need to, oh. I'm going to go check out Bellevue for good food. That sounds like a good place to go.
And you actually, the University of Washington on the Ave, yesterday I was just there, and that was the best bubble, there's like probably 14 of them in one street, but it's very Asian too.
One of my favorite things to do is my wife and I divvy up the kids, and each of us takes one of the twins out for dates on weekends.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're whole numbers. Good.
We have one child, and we divide the child in half.
Yeah.
No. So I have twin 14-year-old daughters, and we'll each take one. We'll mix and match so that we get time with the girls one-on-one. And I've been taking them to different ethnic food around here. But I think it's time to take a sojourn across the sound and go get some really good Asian food or good Indian food or something over. And it sounds like Bellevue is the place to go.
Yeah, Bellevue, yeah. For sure.
Okay, cool. Right. Bellevue's got like the Porsche dealership and all of that. Is that right?
Well, Tesla. There's a lot of Teslas over in, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So I've driven past all of that on my way someplace else. So I'm vaguely familiar. Okay. I definitely need to spend more time on the other side of the sound. All right. Well, let's bring this down to what a new manager can do. All right. So we've gotten a ton of information, a ton of background. Bring it home for a new manager. What can a new manager do today to be more respectful to their employees and their customers?
Well, I would say this first. Let's say you want to sell to Asian American, Native Hawaiian, Pacific Islanders who are underserved. You can't sell if you don't know anything about them, right? How do you know, and this is a big group. So, you know, you got to learn, because if you want to be effective with knowing, like Costco, let's bring in bird's nest soup, right? That's not something you just bring in because, oh, I think that Billy Bob is going to really enjoy bird nest soup for, you know, $50 a bowl, right? You have to understand your market. And there was a survey out, it was a year and a half ago, to Americans, and they couldn't name one, 42% of Americans could not name one single prominent Asian American. And I've done over 200 presentations in the last couple of years, and I would say that's pretty spot on that. And I won't put you on the spot right now to ask how many Asian Americans you can name, but you can just think about that. And everybody out there who's listening, how many can you name, right? Bruce Lee is dead and Michelle Yeoh is not American. So, you know, just think about that. So in order to be more inclusive and to get the different markets, you actually need to hire some. So, right, you can't just try and sell to people you don't know. What do you need? and understand that, you know, Asian American means is 48 countries, 3 territories. You have different religions. You have just so many different languages. You have people who are mixed like me. I'm definitely Asian looking, but I'm a quarter white and grew up in a white community with not many Asians around. And understanding history a little bit, I know it's being banned, but World War II was not that long ago. And so when people think, oh, yeah, oh, isn't that terrible? I did hear that Japanese Americans were incarcerated. Yeah, like that was my parents' era. So it's not that far. So having some sensitivity around that and understanding, why do the Japanese Americans that you know, why they're a certain way? Well, because, you know, how come their names are always... My mom's name is Nancy. My name is Jolene. My sister's name is Tracy. Japanese Americans have English names and then usually have a cultural middle name, right? We're trying to be as American as possible because people had in their wallets Jap hunting, right? Instead of having a moose, you know, they had a picture of a Japanese person, like a human, and had a license. You're going to want to look that up. So understanding a little bit about history and that the whole bracket of Asian Americans encompasses a ton of people, and you have a lot of refugees who grew up in the projects. That was my ex-husband. He's Vietnamese, right? They escaped. And it's like work ethic and being grateful. Like there's so many things you can learn by wanting to learn. And if you want to be successful at your business, as you stated before, like in terms of Eric, that diversity is so valuable to have different ways of thinking and different perspectives. And, you know, if you're telling me as an Asian American, you're selling me, oh, it's great, you're going to love it, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, really? Do you know anything about me? You know, and so it's not really believable if you don't have any people there, you know, let's say in this case, if you don't have any Asian Americans at your company, don't tell me that it's a great product for me. So that's something to, here's some homework too. If you have Netflix, Beef. So this is with Ali Wong, comedian, and Steven Yeun. And I talk about in this in my presentations because it talks about how Asian Americans will just like smile, okay, yeah, great, sounds fantastic. And then really just be raging in their head like, oh, that whatever, treating me like a little kid and stuff. And it shows that bottling up of that anger, and then it's going to come out at some point. And it may be a quiet quit. It may be a lawsuit. I did a program not too long ago talking about Asian Americans fighting back and like suing their managers for being racist, right? So when Asian Americans hit that bamboo ceiling, it's not great. So your managers have got to learn about the people they're trying to sell to and bring them into their company if you want to be not performative, but actually be authentic.
Yeah. And this actually plays really well into what I write about in my book. The first chapter is all about empathy. And a big way to learn empathy is to go put yourself in situations where you're not necessarily comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, so ask hard questions and learn something new about different cultures, for example. So I think that this conversation has been hugely helpful in helping build my empathy for Asian Americans, for example. So I'm looking forward to more. Maybe we can get together in Bellevue and have some bubble tea.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's talk a little bit about you specifically, Jolene. So tell us about your YouTube channel and the resources on your website. And we will capture all of this in the show notes as well. Jen is fantastic at that, so not to worry.
So I have hundreds of interviews with other Asian Americans because we are not all the same. And my program, my main program is Aren't Asians All Alike? Because people think we're all the same people and they confuse us and they rename us and everything. So I have a lot of resources on YouTube and on my website to be able to explain how important it is to pronounce our names correctly and make the effort. And why should we not, you know, ask me to calculate the tab after lunch? You know, how that feeds into stereotypes. And so there's just a lot of different resources on JoleneJang.com and my YouTube channel. And someday I'll get my Instagram going as well. So we'll see. And hopefully I will have my podcast going soon because I think that people do not know really anything about Asian Americans, and to show how diverse we are and how to build that empathy is really important.
Fantastic. Good deal. So JoleneJang.com, is that right?
Correct.
Good. Cool. Okay. Well, we'll make sure that that gets into the show notes. And you dropped a bunch of other things that Jen will get into the show notes as well. So that is awesome. So, Jolene, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the show and connect with me on LinkedIn. Pick up my new book, Lead Like a Pro, The Essential Guide for New Managers, available on Amazon. And we will catch you on the next one. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Management Development Unlocked. Want more? Get a ton of insider tips and tools at GerardTrainingSolutions.com.